Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Now, believe it or not, amid the COVID-19 surge, the financial sector has seen a staggering 238% increase in cyber attacks.
Oh, you know, I believe that that number would have risen, but 238%? Wow. The findings, of course, were found in VMware Carbon Black's third annual finance focus report. It's the Modern Bank Heist Report.
Wow, what a name. It has also found that ransomware attacks have increased ninefold since the beginning of February to the end of April.
I tell you what, here's the scary part, all right? 82% of surveyed financial institutions said cyber criminals have become more sophisticated. They are leveraging highly targeted social engineering attacks.
It is a bit frightening.
Yeah.
These criminals exploit weaknesses in people, processes, and technology to gain a foothold and persist in the network, enabling the ability to transfer funds and exfiltrate sensitive data.
So how has the cybersecurity landscape in Asia especially handled this increase, and what can we as consumers do to protect ourselves from cyber attacks? On the line with us from Colorado is Tom Kellerman, Head of Cybersecurity Strategy at VMware Carbon Black. Tom, good morning. Good evening to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, so let's jump into it and talk about this third annual finance-focused report from VMware Carbon Black, the Modern Bank Heist Report. Phenomenal name. It was found that the financial sector has seen this staggering 238% increase in cyber attacks and ransomware attacks. Tell us a little bit more about the report and who was surveyed.
Yes, so the 238% increase is from VMware Carbon Black Global Data across a multitude of financial institutions whom we service. But within the report, we surveyed 25 of the world's largest financial institutions' heads of security, and we asked them the same tough questions we had asked them for the 3 years previously. Notable here is that we've seen a shift from the bank heist to a hostage situation. What I mean by that is the hackers are getting into these systems, and then they're commandeering the digital transformation efforts of the financial institution to attack their customers. So the bank website, the bank network, the bank mail server itself is pushing out attack code or malware against the customers, the board members, and the senior executives of that institution through what's called island hopping. And that's happening one out of three times.
Tom, I found this piece quite interesting. 80% of the surveyed financial institutions across the globe reported this increase in cyber attacks over the past 12 months, 13% over 2019. Yes, we say COVID-19 has a pretty big role, but how big is that role in terms of increasing these cyber attacks?
So we cut off the survey, we stopped asking the questions, and we ended the survey a little prematurely. We've seen a dramatic spike of attacks against the financial sector in tandem with the news cycle for COVID. And this is in large part due to two phenomena. Number one, you have a massive transfer of wealth from governments to citizens and financial institutions as stimulus packages in the U.S. and in Europe, et cetera. But number two, you're seeing greater coordination and organization of the cyber criminal syndicates, as well as nation states that are offsetting economic sanctions through attacks on financial sector participants, notably North Korea and Russia.
Wow, that seems quite incredible. Now, you alluded just a moment ago to the new sorts of tactics or types of attack that are being used. I wanted to see if you would elaborate on that a little bit more. So you were talking about how it's shifted to hostage situations, but then how detrimental does that sort of attack become?
Well, it really undermines trust and confidence in the financial sector. Now, I will say that Singaporean financial institutions are typically better secured than their foreign counterparts because of the nature in which the Monetary Authority of Singapore has been explicit and very proactive with their technology risk management guidelines. But that being said, look, they used to hack financial institutions and move money out of them. Now they maintain a persistence within those institutions, and they use the digital transformation, the digital environment of the institution to attack their customers directly, in addition to the fact that they're leveraging new schemes of monetization that involve things like digital front-running, digital insider trading. The hackers of the world are well aware that the most valuable asset of a financial institution is not access to wire transfer systems, but rather it's non-public market information.
Wow, they are getting a little bit creative. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, in our research, and what we've established here is that these adversaries have become very capable and very aware of the interdependencies in the financial sector. For example, when they target fintech vendors, they're going directly after the APIs because that's the most vulnerable and yet ubiquitous utility of a fintech vendor. When they target a major financial institution, you can see them maintaining persistence on the laptop of the portfolio manager's system in order to project or predict or become telepathic, for that matter, vis-a-vis what positions they might be taking. What's unique about the capability that we developed at VMware and Carbon Black is we created a capacity to monitor the behaviors of hackers when they're in systems. And the fact that they're sticking around longer and misusing those systems in novel ways and then using those very systems to attack other trusted systems is a harbinger of dark days to come.
So, Tom, I'm getting the sense that the hackers have now up or sort of gotten creative and they are monitoring the behavior of investors or people in the financial sector. So what you guys are doing is the same thing back at them. You're monitoring their behavior.
Correct. The VMware Carbon Black capabilities allow you to intrinsically identify anomalous behaviors within your computers, right, and then record that activity. And thus, from doing that, if you were to look through the lens of just the financial sector, you start to understand that the great cybercrime syndicates of Eastern Europe and Brazil, for that matter, have developed a great knowledge base per the interdependencies of the financial sector. And their goal is no longer just to conduct a heist, it's to conduct that hostage situation, which is why ransomware also has increased 900% in the sector.
So it may seem very obvious, but just for the benefit of our listeners, could you walk that through the next mile then and tell us how actually normal people end up being ripped off? And what is it? What's the kind of money these criminal elements are making as a result of this capability?
So what's tragic about the situation is the one out of three times that island hopping is occurring, it's actually the financial institution's website or network itself that is attacking the customer. The implicit trust that you place in the digital efforts of the financial institution, that's being commandeered. And so they're hijacking that and attacking you directly from the point of presence of the bank. For individual investors, whether it's e-brokerage fraud or wire transfer fraud or identity theft, it's fundamental that they begin to increase their situational awareness for the activities of their accounts. It's fundamental that they begin to improve the security of their own laptops when they work from home. Like the laptop that they conduct finances on should be on a separate Wi-Fi network than the network that houses the smart devices or the family devices. They should be using next-gen antivirus on that laptop. They should be using a VPN on that laptop. They should be using Firefox as a browser on that laptop. And more importantly, they should actually limit their administrative privileges to that laptop when conducting finances. They should have two profiles, because the easiest way for a hacker to take over your device is when you already have administrative access, and then they hack you, they get the keys to the castle.
Tom, we talked earlier about COVID-19 and its impact on the cybersecurity landscape. I'm curious, though, it seems we're not getting a break. You still have geopolitical tensions, you know, especially between the US and China. Does a situation like this have any impact on cybersecurity for financial institutions?
So geopolitical tensions are being exhibited in cyberspace. The Chinese have dramatically increased cyber attacks against the U.S. during the trade war. And every time there's more bellicose statements from President Trump against the Chinese, you see this phenomenon occur. But they're not alone. You see dramatic increases of attacks from Iran, North Korea, and the Russian cyber militias against U.S. and Western infrastructures during COVID. There's a full appreciation of the level of vulnerability of the American hegemony right now. Between COVID and the domestic unrest, you see adversaries of the U.S. taking full advantage of the situation and attacking the most critical infrastructures in the U.S. And frankly, having been in the industry for 22 years, I've never seen it this bad.
So is it that the forms of state protection against attacks or institutions' protection against attacks is getting weaker, or is it that the criminals are just getting stronger?
So the old model for securing financial institutions, network-based defense in depth security, firewalls, intrusion detection systems, encryption, those things are failing in a world where people are migrating to cloud environments, using software applications as a service, and conducting telework. We need to invert the paradigm now. And frankly, we need to establish new architectural standards for cybersecurity based on the new world of cloud computing, the new world of application utility, and the new world of telework. And the regulators in the U.S. haven't caught up with that, nor have many of the U.S. financial institutions to this brave new world.
Wow. We've been speaking with Tom Kellerman, head of cybersecurity strategy at VMware Carbon Black. Tom, thank you so much for your time this morning. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.